trending topics with legal conclusions. Brought to you by Pepper and Odom Law Firm. You're listening to Legal Roundup.
Hey, this is Attorney Everett Pepper with Pepper and Odom Law Firm here in Ridgeland, Mississippi. I'm here with Attorney Daryl Porter Jr., and we're here for our podcast this week. Daryl, you want to say hello to everybody?
Hey, everybody.
Today we had a topic that's been in the news, come out yesterday. This happened in Jones County, Mississippi. Like a 12-year-old girl was run over by a car in an apartment complex in Jones County. Daryl, have you heard about that?
Yeah, I've been reading a little bit about it. You know, anytime a child is injured, you know, it's really a sad situation. I think the last reports I read, they don't know. You know, obviously she was in critical condition as of yesterday, being hit by a car. Not sure if they've released any more information as of today about what her condition is.
The last I heard, they had transported her after she got run over, they had transported her to the Jones Family Medical Center. You know, her injuries were serious enough that they went ahead and airlifted her up to UMMC in Jackson. So usually when that happens, you know you're dealing with something pretty serious.
Yeah, and obviously with UMMC being the number one trauma center in the state, and again, as you know, to be an airlift, it definitely is probably something that's pretty serious. You know, again, it's always a sad situation, really, when anybody gets hit, but, you know, a 12-year-old versus a vehicle, never going to be a good situation.
Yeah, the vehicle's always going to win.
The vehicle is always going to win. Really, really hope that, you know, her condition improves. Pepper, what type of, I don't know, legalities come into play in a situation like this?
Well, on this one, the early reports that I seen come out from the Jones County Sheriff Department said that, you know, nobody had been arrested. An accident, you know, that occurred, you know, where the little girl actually run out in front of the vehicle. But basically, pedestrians like this, we do some of these cases at a personal injury firm. So, you know, we're always mindful of, you know, just how quick an injury like that can happen for both parties. I mean, it's usually a situation where the driver is negligent, or if they're negligent, you know, usually they're distracted driving and they just don't see the person. Or they, you know, look down for a minute, next thing they know, they're off the road a little bit or something like that. You know, that's where the negligence side comes in, which is, you know, what we do, obviously.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we'll rely heavily on the witness statements, the people that, you know, if there was any eyewitnesses around it seeing what happened, and then, of course, the police report.
Right.
And I hadn't seen a police report come out on this one yet.
No, me either. So I know they mentioned that no charges had been filed. What, if any, charges would derive from something like this?
Well, my first thought would be, you know, just obviously reckless driving.
Mm-hmm.
Then it could be, you know, it could be careless driving or depending on the situation, the surroundings and so forth. Then, you know, of course, if the girl ends up getting killed, you know, or dies from the injuries, you know, I mean, it could be something as serious as vehicular homicide. You know,
wow, right.
But, you know, that's dealing with more of the criminal side of it.
Yeah.
We do, you know, civil law.
Right.
If you think about, to give an analogy of it, if you think like during the O.J. Simpson trial, you know, he had the criminal charges, and then that case, then after that, the family turned around and brought a civil suit again, which is, you know, two completely different things. I mean, they're related, but they're, you know, different standards, all kinds of different rules you have to go by and stuff. So I think, you know, even though there may not have been any criminal charges in this case, but I would say the family's probably going to look into something if there's any civil type of action that could be brought to,
right,
which one is not dependent upon the other.
That's
so
right.
You can't have one, and, you know, they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah,
so
but you can have both.
You can have both, yeah. And a lot of times you do have both.
Mm-hmm.
And even if one's unsuccessful, the other one may be. So, like I said, they're not mutually exclusive, but it's so fact-heavy, you know, depending on the situation. I didn't see anything in here about the driver. There wasn't any mention of any kind of alcohol or drugs involved. When you're dealing with a 12-year-old kid, kids are going to play. And this was at an apartment complex. You know, a lot of times the kids play in the parking lot. We'll see when the facts come out, you know, if there's anything like that, but I'm sure there's going to be, the family's going to look into seeing if there's any kind of monetary award that they can get. Because,
right,
I mean, the medical bills are going to be outstanding on this.
Oh, yeah. With the fact that she was airlifted alone, I mean, you're already looking at a bill that's upwards of maybe $40,000 to $50,000 right there,
yeah,
before she even makes it to the hospital. And I think I read in there where she's actually transported by EMS to the landing zone of the medical center. EMS, you correct me if I'm wrong, that's going to be an ambulatory service, correct?
Right, that's the local ambulance center.
Right.
Area, an ambulance ride, just depending on how far it is, I mean, you can easily come up anywhere from $1,500 to upwards, you know,
right,
several thousand dollars,
that's,
you know,
right,
for just the ambulance ride. Some of the cases I've worked on in the past that had airlifted, I mean, it wasn't uncommon to see a $20,000 to $35,000, $40,000 bill for the,
right,
you know, for the helicopter ride.
That's right.
But there's not a lot of options in that situation if the injuries are that severe. I think, you know, Jones Family Medical Center is a nice facility, but there's a lot of difference in that and a, you know, a level one trauma center,
that's
such,
right,
as UMMC. So basically, when you see that happen, you you know the injuries are going to be severe,
right,
and she needed some kind of more intensive type care.
That's correct. So before she even gets to the hospital or gets to UMMC, we're looking at bills that's probably well into about $50,000,
yeah,
as far as damages are concerned, rather.
I hadn't seen any follow-up on the report, but, you know, she may still be in hospital, maybe in hospital for a week, you know, in intensive care or ICU. It depends on how long she stays in hospital, too.
That's right.
Hopefully the family has some kind of health insurance that can help, you know, cover some of the bills or something.
You know, if the family decides to go after the individual that hit their daughter, obviously we hope that they had insurance,
right,
which is required in the state of Mississippi. We're required to have a minimum of $25,000. So one, we hope that they had insurance. Two, in a situation like this with the, you know, a 12-year-old being transported by ambulance to one hospital and then transported by a helicopter to another facility, to the level one trauma center, we definitely would hope that they have more than minimum limits as well. Because again, we've already stated several times, her medical bills before even getting to UMC are well into $50,000 and upwards. And I think that goes to show why it's important for everybody to carry insurance. Something that was crossing my mind while we were talking was, you know, the duty of a driver, even if a child, again, like you said, children play, apartment complexes, obviously they're limited to where they can play, but the duty of those drivers in that apartment complex to, one, obviously maintain a proper speed within that complex, and two, make sure that they have a proper lookout, wouldn't you say?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, just as a good rule of thumb, a pedestrian will always have the right of way.
The right.
And should have. Like you said earlier, you know, if it comes down between a person and a car, the car's going to win, and
right,
that's why that has to be there. I don't know if the driver lived in that same apartment complex with the baby, or I say baby, child, 12-year-old. If they did, they should be familiar with the area.
And, right.
This time of the year, it's pleasant outside. Kids are going to be out there playing all the time.
That's right.
If they're not in school, most people that are used to living there just automatically, instinctively keep a lookout for it. It's usually like a big community of people, and they know their kids are going to be running everywhere. But when you're dealing with pedestrians, you don't see a lot of that kind of injuries in a parking lot or in a subdivision. It's usually like a pedestrian, like on a walking trail, walking down the side of the highway, or riding a bicycle. And a lot of the streets, such as like going across the reservoir, you know, it has the biking lane. You know,
that's correct.
It's just common sense. If you see somebody, you can see them a lot better than they can see you, and you're in a lot bigger vehicle. And me personally, I always try to change lanes and move over and give them extra room.
Give them space, yeah.
You know,
that's right.
We don't know enough facts about what happened here, and probably over the next day or two, we'll find out more information about it. But I just feel real bad for the family having to put up with it. It's going to be hard either way. Of course, we don't know what her recovery is yet or anything like that. So, and we probably won't hear that. I doubt that'll come out in the news or anything like that. But most counties in Mississippi, we have narrow roads. You know,
that's
we have
right.
a lot of rural roads. Some don't even have lines on them.
Right.
So you just have to take extra precaution. Are you real familiar with Jones County?
I'm not that familiar with Jones County. I actually think I've only made probably several trips just going through there. I take that back, I've had at least one minor settlement, ironically, with a child being involved in an accident over in Jones County. Again, as you already noted, we got a lot of rural roads. Mississippi is a rural state where you don't have lines in the road, but I think, again, it's important for individuals that are riding, particularly this type of situation, you're riding in an apartment complex, you got to be mindful of people walking. As you've already stated, pedestrians presume to have the right of way. Again, you got to have a proper lookout, and you definitely got to be maintaining a speed under those circumstances.
Which, as a personal injury firm, we bring lawsuits on behalf of victims that's injured, just like this girl may be. I mean, we don't know the facts of how it happened yet, so
right,
we don't know if there's any civil action or not in this particular case, but a lot of times people come to us and like, well, you know, y'all are trial lawyers, and you know, y'all sue people, and they look at that as a negative thing. But what we really do is we make sure these people and their families get the compensation that they deserve from these big insurance companies that actually deny the claim or want to pay pennies on the dollar of what should be paid. And that's where we come in. We're not sitting around looking to sue somebody for no particular reason.
Right.
That's why there's elements of negligence. And then the pedestrian cases, they're always usually high damage cases. When you're in a car, it protects you somewhat when you get hit. But if it's just you, then that's it. You know?
Yeah.
That's why you always see pedestrian accidents, motorcycle accidents,
right,
and accidents like that, and even boating accidents. The people are just not very well protected from anything, or ATV accidents. There's not a lot there to protect you from,
that's right,
from a crash.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming in with us today, talking about this. We're going to try to maybe do some follow-up later if we hear anything. We don't know for sure. We're going to try to keep the podcast going on some topics that we think are going on in the area that are related to sort of what we do, and maybe we can give some people something to think about. What are you looking like as far as your county, what you got going on now?
Well, we're gearing up for the legislative session here and the 2023 legislative session. Also getting ready for an election year. We're going to have state state elections next year. Really just preparing, getting ready for that. On the legal side of things, I think we got a couple trials set next year. We just will be getting ready for that. Before we conclude today, I definitely want to offer our prayers to the family of this 12-year-old. We're praying that she gets better. Pray that her injuries are not fatal. And we just keep them in our prayers as we go throughout the next couple of days, weeks, months.
Absolutely. Same here. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up today. Again, I'm Attorney Everett Pepper with Pepper and Odom Law Firm here in Ridgeland, Mississippi. And with us is Attorney Daryl Porter Jr. We do personal injury law in Mississippi and Alabama. Hopefully, you won't need our services, but if you do, give us a call. Sometimes it's just to answer questions, and stuff like this comes up, we'll be happy to talk with you. I appreciate y'all tuning in tonight, and thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Legal Roundup, brought to you by Pepper and Odom Law Firm. If you live in Mississippi or Alabama and have been injured in a car wreck or some other accident due to someone else's negligence, call Pepper and Odom at 601-202-1111 or visit pepperandodom.com.